All right, if you have your Bibles with you while they're finishing up the offerings there, turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. You know, I ran across a scripture this morning in Genesis. It's not part of my message. Genesis chapter 1, it says that, let me just read it here. Genesis chapter 1. It said the darkness was on the face of the deep. You remember that one? And it said that the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep. Okay, I'm not going to find it. I've already said it. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. You know, the Bible says that deep calleth unto deep at the voice of thy waterspouts. The deep in us calls to the deep in Him. And I said the Spirit moved on the face of the water. It meant He was hovering. He was hovering over the water. And I believe that's what He's doing today. He's hovering over our deep. He's hovering over our deep. And the Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Remember the first thing God said, let there be light. And there was light. Suddenly that darkness was on the face of the deep became light because of the entrance of God's word. So that's what the Lord's going to do to us today. He's going to give us some word and there's going to be some light coming into our darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's go home then. No, it's a little bit more. You know, I want to talk a little bit more today about something I was talking about before in the last two messages I shared, and that was about speaking the promises of God over our lives and how important it is to do that on a regular basis. I started doing this, three or four months ago. The Lord, you know, kind of showed me some things about it, and I said, I need to start doing this every day. It's like praying in tongues. That's something you ought to do every day. How many do it every day? Well, don't give me a show of hands. Sometimes we know what we ought to do, but we don't get into a habit of doing it. So I started this habit of speaking the words of the promises of God over my life. And I've seen some things happen. I'm going to share some of those things this morning, assuming we have time. So let's see, it's 10 minutes to 12. Okay, good. I'll kind of watch that to make sure we have time. And I've shared a couple of messages on this. The first message I shared was about how the words of our mouth, our tongue, sets the direction of our lives. You may remember I shared that. You know, the analogy or the comparison they used in the Bible was the bit in a horse's mouth turns the horse. The helm of a ship turns the ship. And he says in James chapter 3, verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. The analogy here is that the tongue, the words we speak, set the direction of our lives. He couldn't make a clearer analogy than using the bit and a horse's mouth and the helm of the ship. Both of them direct the horse and direct the ship. And so the point that was made in that message is the tongue is like the horse's bit or the ship's helm. Our words set the direction of our lives. They have an effect, an impact on which way we go in our lives. And then we talked in that message about bridling the tongue, you know, which includes, first of all, refraining ourselves from saying wrong things about ourselves, over other people. But more importantly, bridling the tongue is about speaking the right things over ourselves. It's not just stop saying the bad things, it's start saying some good things. And I suggested at that time that we speak the promises of God over ourselves. What are the right words to speak over ourselves? The promises of God are the right words. We're taking something from the Word of God and speaking it over ourselves. Every day, making it an ongoing habit. And me, I found time to do that. I found time to pray in tongues. When I have my morning coffee, I pray in tongues that whole time. Before, I was just sitting there drinking coffee. I was there doing something anyway. Why not spend that time? And then when I drive, like over here to the church, I've got 15 or 20 minutes. During that time, I'm confessing the word, over the promises of God over my life. And I gave you an example of that. I demonstrated what I meant by that using Psalm 5:12, which says, "For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will you compass him as with a shield." And does anybody recognize that as a promise of God? For you, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will you surround him. Is that a promise of God or not? It's a promise that's given to us. Now, we can leave it laying there or take it. So I can take that thing and say, Father, I thank you that I'm compassed about with favor. For you, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will you surround me as with a shield. Thank you, Lord, I'm blessed. I have favor everywhere I go. And I just speak that over myself. Does that have any impact on my life? Well, I think we'll see that it does. Well, I feel kind of silly just talking to myself. Well, we'll get past that in a minute. Now, why would I do such a thing as that? Why would I speak things like that over myself? Does God need to hear me say that? Father, I thank you that I'm blessed. I thank you that you favor me. You give me favor like a shield. Now, he doesn't need to hear me say it. I need to hear me say it. I need to hear me say it. I need to personalize that promise, because when I hear it, I start to believe it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when we have faith, then grace is released. I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay, because we've heard some of this already. It's our faith in the word of God that releases grace. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. Through faith in God's word, grace is released to save us. It's also released for anything else in our life. It's all the same. It's always released by faith. Grace is. And what is grace? Grace is God's divine enabling. It's his unmerited favor. Favor from God that we didn't deserve. But he gives it to us anyway. See, there's no boasting in that. Oh, this was me because I'm so wonderful. I'm so smart. No, it's because God came in and did something for you for free. Because you're favored of him. Not because you did something, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here's a point. The most powerful way for me to hear the word of God is to hear myself saying it over my own life. Thanking God for it and speaking it over my own life. That's one of the most powerful ways to hear the word of God, and faith comes by hearing. Now, the promise was there all the time. It was there before I ever spake it. Spoke it. I guess spake is a word, yes. But it doesn't become mine until I possess it, until I personalize it. And why is that? Because the promise is received by faith. That's the only way it becomes a reality in our lives. And I shared this last time. Somebody said, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, it didn't work because you tried it. Trying it and believing it are two different things. It doesn't work because you try it. It works because you believe it. Hallelujah. All right, so... The Bible says that God has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. So how do we do that? By believing those promises. By my receiving the promises of God as his promises to me, not just some vague scripture verse in the Bible. Like that Psalm 5:12. People have heard that scripture, but it was just a vague verse in the Bible somewhere. Now, the second message I shared, I'm just giving you a little bit of brief insight into the points that were brought out so we can go on to something else. The second message I shared was about the promise that God made to Abraham, that Abraham and his seed would inherit the world. And I haven't got time to go back through all the scriptures. I'm just telling you, and you can look it up. It's in Romans chapter 4. God promised Abraham that Abraham and his seed would inherit the world. And we read a verse where the Apostle Paul said that all those who are of faith are the children of Abraham. Anybody of faith in here? Anybody who's of faith is the child of Abraham. So you're a child of Abraham, and that promise belongs to you and to me. The promise that Abraham and his seed would inherit the world. Whoa, he's getting out into the ozone now, folks. Woo, watch out. No, it's in the Bible, that Abraham and his seed would inherit the world. Okay, Paul said also that the promise was not made to Abraham and to his seeds, plural, but to his seed, singular, his one seed, and that seed was Christ. So that was a revelation to me when I discovered it, that the seed of Abraham is Christ. And then he goes on to say, if you belong to Christ, if you are in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise that Abraham and his seed would inherit the world. Is this too deep? It's not too deep, is it? Praise God. Okay. Now that's a big promise. I have to admit, a big promise. The world. Wow. But see, all of the world that I need to inherit is what I need. I don't need the whole world. What would I do with it anyway? What would you do with it? It'd just be a bad thing to have that. But God promises to provide everything we need in life. That promise absolutely belongs to you and me, but only if we're willing to believe it. Anybody here willing to believe it, or am I the only nut? Am I the only nut job? Praise God. See, if we don't believe it, it will not chase us down and come on us, overtake us. Because all the promises of God are yea and amen by us. In other words, we have to agree with them and believe them and say, yes, amen, that's mine. If you don't believe it, don't worry about it. It won't chase you down. So all the promises are received by believing them and receiving them. And the verse I concluded with was in Romans 4:16. And Paul says this, therefore it, the promise, is of faith, the promise that Abraham and his seed would inherit the world. Therefore it, the promise, is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, or for the purpose that the promise might be sure to all the seed. And then he goes on and reiterates some things he said before. The point I'm making here is that God's grace, his unmerited favor, his divine enabling is released by our faith. And the promise that we're talking about is fulfilled by grace. God's divine enabling, not our ability, but his ability. So we've got to get to have this promise fulfilled in our life. We've got to get some grace in our life because we can't do it ourselves. God's grace, his unmerited favor, his divine enabling is released to us when we have faith in his word. Released to do what? Released to bring his promises to pass in our lives. And I've got scripture on top of scripture on top of scripture that confirms this. So I'm just saying it up front, but we'll go over some other things. Now, why does this work? How could it even be possible? Praise God. Why would speaking God's promises over my life cause any kind of result to happen? That's a good question. Why would just talking into the air have some effect? Well, first of all, we need to understand that there is a supernatural power that is working in all of us in our lives because we're believers. And I'm going to show you some scripture for this. I'm not just making this up, okay? We're going to get some scripture on it. Because we know the Lord. The Bible confirms this to be true in several places, and I'll just mention two or three of them. Paul told the Ephesian church that he prayed for them in Ephesians chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 17 now. He prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The spirit of wisdom, revelation. Revelation of wisdom. Praise God. You can turn that around several ways. I pray God will give you that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God himself. The knowledge of God. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What can you expect? What is your expectation in this Christian life? What is it you can expect? If the eyes of your understanding are open, you'll know. And that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, God has inherited some children, but we're talking about the inheritance that we have in Christ. That we may know and understand what the riches of the glory of his inheritance that we have in Christ. The inheritance that's ours. Now, notice this. And that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us. Who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So he's saying here there is an exceeding great power, a mighty power that works toward us who believe, those who are believers. What kind of power is it? Verse 20 says, the power which he wrought in Christ or worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. What kind of power is it? It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's resurrection power. And it works in every one of us. It works in our lives. It's at work in you. I don't care if you're a brand new Christian, you just got saved last week, or you've been in this thing 50 years. It's the same power working in each of us. And you know, you stop and think about it. Now, I don't mean to get ahead of myself, but whenever we have a prayer meeting, we pray a prayer and ask God to do something, and that prayer gets answered. Didn't some kind of power just work in the earth? It worked through us, but it was God's power. Because something took place. When somebody gets healed, doesn't some kind of power manifest itself in the earth? Some kind of power that's not of this earth. Okay, we're getting there. It's resurrection power. And it says that same power works in us. It says that same power raised us up from death and trespass and sin. And raised us up together and made us to sit together with Him in the heavenly places. We're actually seated in heavenly places right now because that same power has done that in our lives. That wasn't part of the message. I just had to throw that in there. Amen. So, here's another place in Ephesians chapter 3. A familiar scripture, and we don't stop to think about it sometimes. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us." How is God able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think? He does it by the power that's working in us. Well, how does that power come to us? Here's another scripture. Go back four verses in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." That word might means mighty power or miraculous power. The same power that Jesus healed people with, the same power that raised Him from the dead, is the same power that Paul said, "I pray that you would be strengthened with miraculous power by God's Spirit in your inner man." So we should not be unfamiliar with the power of God. It works in our lives. So Paul prayed for the believers at Ephesus in this Ephesian church. If he prayed it for them, then he prayed it for every believer everywhere. God is no respecter of persons. If he prayed that prayer for the believers there, that's our prayer too. That's another promise of God. "Father, I thank you that I'm strengthened with mighty power by your Spirit in my inner man." Glory to God. "Thank you, Lord. I'm blessed and anointed." Now, is there anything wrong with me saying that over myself? Not a thing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with you saying it over yourself. See, the kingdom of God is about power. And we've lost that. Now, the old Pentecostals, that's all they talked about was the pyre. Going to hit by the par or the pyre? Anyway, not to make fun. Sorry, Lord. But they were talking about the power of God, the power of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is about power, mighty power to do mighty things. And we have access to that power. Don't you wish we had more of it? Don't you wish that we could see more of it in manifestation? That's what we should be doing. And the more we walk in it and recognize it in our own lives, the more it's going to manifest for the mighty things of God, to do mighty works. Jesus said, "Greater works than these shall you do." So, now the kingdom of God, mighty power, and we have access to that power because it works in us and through us at one level or another in each person. How is it released? Through faith. You see, Jesus said, "You are in this world, but you're not of this world." Remember Him saying that? "You are in this world, but you're not of it." Well, if you're not of this world, you must be of another world. We as believers are of another world. You might say that we're otherworldly. You know, this is something we need to think about sometime. We are not of this world. We're living as citizens of another world. But we're living in this world, operating in this world, but we're not the same as people who are just living in the world and haven't discovered what they can have in Christ. We live here for now, but we function in the power of another world. Hebrews says that we live in the powers of a world to come, or powers of an age to come. See, that world has not yet fully come to earth. The kingdom of God has not yet come to earth. We know that some point it's going to come to earth. But we operate in the powers of it, even though it's an age to come, because Jesus said the kingdom, which has not yet come, the kingdom of God is within you. And that power is in us as believers. So I gave you three or four scriptures there to show you that there is power in us as believers. There is power that works in our lives. And, you know, it shouldn't seem strange to say such a thing. We are not operating in earthly powers, but heavenly. When we speak the promises of God over ourselves, a heavenly power is released to cause things to happen in our lives. That should not be a surprise to us. That should be quite normal and reasonable in our thinking. We should, in fact, expect that to happen. Okay, I'm not totally through making the case for this yet, so praise God. That was just one point. Now, I'll title this section, As Far As We Know. As Far As We Know. And the point of this section is you can't believe in what you don't know. If you don't know something, you can't believe it. If you don't know what the promises of God are, how can you believe them for your life? And we're going to look at some other points too. The Bible says that God's divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How many know that scripture? His divine power has given unto us, there's that power again. His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him who has called us. It's through the knowledge of Him that all things are given unto us that pertain to life and godliness. It's through knowledge of God, knowledge of the kingdom. You know, one of the first scriptures you learn as a Christian is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. Well, there's this thing right here, you know, receiving all things that you need because you're seeking the kingdom. God's divine power is released to us in our lives based on the knowledge of God that we have. How much revealed knowledge of His Word that we personally have. See, I believe some things that I didn't believe 10 years ago because I got more knowledge. I discovered things about tithing and giving. I got a revelation of it. It was terrible before that. But once I found out about tithing and giving, I got the revelation of it. No effort at all now because it's a reality in my life. I'm blessed because I tithe and I give. You know, and it's just, that's the way it's supposed to be. I expect that. And it's not a big, hard thing to do. That's only one example of many. One example of many. We'll look at other things. So God's power, His grace, divine power is released unto us based on the knowledge that we have of God. And that's knowledge we get from the Word, meditating in the Word. The Lord shows you this. Wow. Like that thing I just said about the Spirit moving on the face of the water, the face of the deep. See, there's a deep in us. And when light comes, light replaces the darkness in us. See, that's a revelation from the Lord. And we get those types of things all the time if we're in the Word. Now, it's impossible to believe what we don't know. Will anybody agree with that? That's what one scripture says in Romans chapter 10. How can they believe in Him they have not heard? In other words, they've got to have a preacher because how can they believe if they hadn't heard of Him? There's no way you can believe if you haven't heard. So that's one reason why it's important to know what the promises of God are. Now, this makes me think about an experience that Kenneth Hagin had about 100 years ago, actually about 90 years ago, really, in 1934. And some of you may have heard his testimony. I'm going to just share it briefly. See, he had been a feeble child, a sickly child, never was able to play with the other kids, you know. He was just sickly. And at this time, he was bedfast at 16 years old. And the doctor said, he's got to die, you know. There's no hope, no medical hope for him to live. He had an incurable blood disease and so forth. Not only that, the doctor said if they could operate, which they weren't able to, at that time on this situation, he said, we'd have to totally rebuild and rewire your chest area, your heart and all your organs. He said, it's just a mess. You just have to die, you know, 16 years old. And so one evening, as the clock struck a certain time, I think he said as it struck 7 p.m., death came upon him and he died and he leaped out of his body. And he went down, 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 down. You probably heard the testimony. Through the caverns of the damned. With darkness so dark that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. Down, 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 down. Until he came to the very portals of hell itself. And saw this orange glow as he approached it. And as his eyes were fixed on the fires of hell, some creature came up beside him, took him by the arm, began to lead him in. He said, though I wasn't looking at the creature, all I was looking at was those fires, that fire. And at that moment, a voice came from above in what he thought seemed like the Hebrew language, but it was some foreign language, and spoke just a few words, 10 or 12 words. And when that voice spoke, the whole place shook. And the creature let him go, and he began to ascend up, 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 up until he was back on the earth's surface on the porch of his grandma's house. And he leaped through the wall and back into his body. And his grandma was there by his bed. He said, Grandma, Grandma, I'm going to die. She said, well, I thought you were already gone. He says, where's Mama? Well, she's outside praying, walking around the house. I'll go get her. He said, no, don't go get her. Don't leave me. I don't want to be alone. Don't leave me. Don't leave me. And he went out again, came out of his body, and went down, down, down to the gates of hell. This creature took him by the hand, and he heard the voice say these few words again in a foreign tongue. And the place shook, and the creature let go, and he came back up. This happened three times. And he tells his grandma, tell Grandpa I love him. He's close to a daddy as I ever had. And tell Mama I love her. Thank her for trying to do her best to take care of us kids. And he went again the third time. And on the third time, he was saying, Lord, 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 I'm a member of the church, Lord. I'm a member of the church. Why am I going this direction? Why am I going this direction? I'm a member of the church. You know, they went to the Baptist church, but he had never been born again. And so as he was coming back up the third time, he prayed and asked God to forgive him his sins and come into his life. And he repented and made Jesus Lord of his life. And even when he came back into his body, he was right in the middle of that prayer. And he got gloriously saved that day, born again. And he didn't die. But he was still sick. The reason I said all that was to point out that he was born again now, but he was still sick. The doctor still said, you got to die. There's no other way around. There's no other options. And so that's why I wanted to point out he was still the same. Medically speaking, he had to die. So he began to study the scriptures the best he could. You know, because in your weakened condition, you can't read but a little bit, and then you pass out for a while. And he found certain scriptures that seemed to give him hope that he might receive divine healing. One of those was the scriptures in Mark 11, 22 through 24, which he preached all of his life. Mark 11, 22 says, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I, Jesus, say unto you, What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And he began to cling to that scripture and ponder it and meditate on it because he desired healing. What things soever you desire, I desire to be healed and healthy and live a healthy life. So he began to believe that he could be healed by faith, by believing God's word. But as fate would have it, as it usually happens to all of us, as he pursued this desire to be healed by God's word, either the devil or some well-meaning preacher or Christian layperson told him he didn't have enough faith. That's the reason you're not getting healed. You just don't have enough faith. So that bothered him pretty bad. It troubled him. And he went to the Lord about it in prayer and said, Lord, if you came into this bedroom and stood right beside me in the flesh and said to me, you don't have enough faith to get healed, Lord, I'd have to say that you're lying. I do have faith. I do believe. I wholly and totally believe that you will heal me, that I can receive divine healing. And he said the Lord spoke up in his heart and said, Yes, you do have faith. You do believe as far as you know. You do believe as far as you know. In other words, there is an implication here that there's something else you need to know. Sometimes we don't get what we want from God because we haven't received enough divine knowledge to believe. You can't believe what you don't know. Long story short, he eventually received his healing. He woke up one morning about 10 o'clock and he was confessing. He said, "Thank God I'm healed. I'm healed by the power, because himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses." Lord spoke up in his heart and said, "Well, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Healed people aren't in the bed at 10 o'clock in the morning." So it took him a couple of minutes to finally make his way out of bed, weak. But when he stood up, he said he was standing up straight and strong. And he walked into the kitchen where they were eating breakfast. And his grandpa said, "Well, has Lazarus risen from the dead?" And so anyway, and the man had 70 years of ministry after that. Incurable blood disease, had to die. But God healed him by the word of God because he found out some things. He sought God until the Lord revealed some things to him. And boom, it happened then. So we can only believe as far as we know. If we're not getting results, it may need be that we need to get into the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to increase what we know as we ponder the Word of God. Is that talking about speaking the promises of God? Maybe it's a little off subject, but it relates to it. See, faith is not blind. Faith sees. Faith operates up to the point of what we know about divine things. We need to hear more of the Word of God to get more faith. We don't know what we don't know. This is the point. And we don't know it until we find it out. So this is kind of to encourage you to get in there and find it out. What is it you're believing God for? What is it you need? Go find the Scriptures, the promises of God that cover that, and spend some time pondering and meditating in those. Look up the Greek and Hebrew words. Find out what that means. And the Lord will speak faith to you. You know, He comes by hearing. You'll suddenly see things and you didn't see before. So anyway, now it's impossible to believe what we don't yet know. But we can know more. We have not arrived, but how many are on your way? Praise God. I haven't arrived. Paul said, "I have not apprehended." So if he hadn't apprehended, think how short we are. Anyway. Now, in talking about speaking the promises of God over our lives, I found occasionally folks don't understand what I mean when I say the promises of God. It seems very clear to me, but occasionally people don't really get what I'm saying. Am I talking about prophetic words that have been spoken over our lives? Well, yeah, that's a promise of God, but that's not what I'm talking about. Are we talking about possibly declaring and decreeing good things over our community? I declare and decree that this is going to be. Well, that's maybe along the same line, and there is a whole teaching on declaring and decreeing, and I believe it has power in it, but that's not what I'm talking about. Am I talking about saying positive affirmations over ourselves? I am successful. I am powerful. I am confident. Hallelujah. No, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying stuff like that, but that's not what I'm talking about. You know, positive thinking and positive confession, it may have a certain amount of mental power to it. You'll feel better about yourself, maybe. You can create maybe your own self-image a little bit better. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is speaking the promises of God over our lives. I'm talking about finding the Scriptures in the Bible that promise things to us and then speaking those over our lives. See, now we're basing what we're saying on the Word of God. That's totally different than positive thinking. Positive thinking is just pulling some thought out of the air and saying something. It's not based on anything. But this is something right here when we're basing what we're saying on the Word of God, on God's promises, great and precious promises that He's given us. So why would that be any different than doing those other things I just mentioned? I said two or three things you could do, and that's not what I'm talking about. Why would this be any different than those things? Well, I want to show you a quick scripture to illustrate that. It's in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. And it's a verse where Gabriel has come to Mary, told her that she's going to bear a child, so forth. And let's just read, well, I don't have that verse, but he tells her that your cousin Elizabeth is with child. She's pregnant. Your cousin Elizabeth, who is an older woman, she's pregnant, and the power of the Lord is going to come upon you, and you're going to bear a child. Well, And he says in verse 37 of chapter 1, this is the angel speaking. He says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now this scripture is one of those scriptures that maybe is rendered a little bit incorrectly, because there's a whole teaching out there. In fact, Pastor John told me about this several years ago, and I said, "Really? It means that? Really?" And there is a whole teaching on it out there. You can look it up. If you just Google the phrase, "No rhema is without power." No rhema is without power. It'll take you to the scripture. Because if you look it up in the concordance, this word nothing, with God nothing shall be impossible. The word in the concordance means no meaningful sound uttered by God's voice. No meaningful sound uttered by God's voice. And then it says, shall be impossible. The word impossible here means weak and powerless, or without power. No meaningful sound uttered by God's voice is without power, is what that means. Literally. That's not just somebody taking it and saying, "Let's twist it around and make it mean this." No, that's what it actually means. No word spoken by God is void of power. That's what that verse means. Now, it's kind of out of the way. I would not have gotten that out of it immediately, but I've heard people talk about it. I said, let me look at this. In other words, when God speaks something, there is power that accompanies what He says, power to bring it to pass. "Let there be light," and there was light. Because God spoke it out of His mouth. Well, every promise of God in the Bible was spoken by God. It was a spoken word before it was a written word, because the Bible says that holy men spoke as they were moved by or inspired by the Holy Ghost. Men spoke as they were inspired by the Spirit of God, and somebody wrote it down. But it was a rhema word, a spoken word of God when it came. So then, every promise of God in the Bible has within it the power to fulfill itself. Glory to God. Made my hair stand up right there. It's really standing up. I know you can't tell, but it is. But yeah, every promise of God, like that one, "Look, for you, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, will you compass me as with a shield." I just by faith took that promise into myself, and that promise itself has the power within it to fulfill itself. "Let there be light," and there was light. Whenever God speaks, He says, "My word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish the thing whereto I sent it." It's going to accomplish something. The Word of God is. When we take it out of here and put it in our mouth and speak it over ourselves, it's going to accomplish that in our lives. I don't know if you can tell it yet, but I believe this stuff, folks. It's not a theoretical thing to me.